Amen. We're all scared of something. Fear is something that goes so incredibly deep into our lives. So the question is then, how do we face that? How do we deal with that? How do we be brave in the face of fear? Brave the stage. That's where we have been for the last 2 weeks. How do we brave the stage together? William Shakespeare said, "All the world is a stage." So then the question becomes, how do you brave the stage? How is it that you step out as a Christian into life and be brave in the face of your everyday life? I want to show you, you've actually been looking at one of the people that I consider to be one of the bravest in the world. I don't know what year this picture was taken, but I want to tell you what you're looking at. This is one of the professional cellists in the Iraq National Orchestra. This picture was taken the day after the building behind him was bombed. The day before this picture, that building stood intact, and now it was a pile of rubble, and in that bombing, 23 people died. And on this day, this cellist stepped out to do what I consider to be one of the bravest and most amazing things ever. He simply brought the presence of music and the deep, deep joy of life into the presence of destruction, chaos, and death. So many times when we're asking you to confront your fears and to be brave, a lot of us think that this takes something superhuman and super special. I love those stories. You've heard those stories, you know, where there's a car accident and there's somebody who's pinned under the car and someone comes up to them and in this act of superhuman adrenaline strength, they take that car and they lift it up so that that person can be saved and pulled from underneath. I love these stories. But the problem with those stories is that we then seem to think that what is given to us has to be superhuman and out of the ordinary. You want to brave the stage? It doesn't mean having the ability to lift cars. It means simply claiming the ability to be you in the face of destruction, chaos, and death. This cellist stepped up and simply did the one thing that he knew how to do. And to me, that was one of the bravest things in the world. What is it that we can bring, that we can be doing to brave the stage and be brave even in the face of fear? It helps to remember that you are part of a church. You are a part of this church. And what that means is, number one, you're not alone. And number two, not only are you surrounded by people, you are in the living presence of the living God. It really helps when we take a look at two different mentalities. One is the mentality that is scarcity. It is a mentality that says that in our life and in our world, there isn't enough. There isn't enough air, there isn't enough oxygen, there isn't enough food, there isn't enough water. The pie is too small, and the pie can't get any bigger. There's just not enough, so we better be very careful, and we better guard exactly what is ours and protect it. Now, there's one source of scarcity mentality: fear. Fear. It's all about being scared. And what happens when we get scared is that there is a part of our brain, I simply call it the rat brain. It's that very, very ancient part of our brain that is based on emotions and based on fear. It's there to protect us. But what happens when that protection pulls us away from humanity and from the life that we live? The other side of this, the opposite of scarcity, is abundance. When we live in a world of abundance that says not only is there enough, there's more than enough. There's more than enough love. There's more than enough energy. There's more than enough resources. Let me give you just, it's a very, very simplistic, very, very simplistic example in this. When was the last time that you were around a small child? Small children don't know what scarcity is. Small children only know abundance. And this is evidenced when you get a hug, when you get some loving on that kid, or when you then get to love them in return. There's always enough love. I mean, when you hug a kid, you know that there's always room for one more hug. If that kid were to turn right around and say, give me another, there's always an abundance of that. So here we are, caught between scarcity and abundance. And one of the things that I want you to see today is that there is a price tag on scarcity. There's a deep, deep price that we pay when we succumb to fear. Moses brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, and they walked into the desert. There they were given the Ten Commandments, and they headed toward the Promised Land. Now, I don't know just exactly how long it took them to get to the Promised Land, over to Canaan, but I will tell you, it was not 40 years. It was within the first year, the first 2 years, they were able to do that. Here's the deal. If you were a professional trader and were running a caravan route from Egypt to Canaan, if you had the proper camels, if you had the proper equipment, if you had the proper watering, if you knew the map, if you knew the route, it would take you just under 3 weeks to get from there to there. And it took the Israelites 40 years. Why? Scarcity. Fear. Moses guided them with the Ten Commandments across that. There was a lot of conflict and a lot of things that they had to take care of, and they got to that promised land, the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites. They came to this place, and Moses wanted to know what was in there, so he selected 12 men. Those 12 men went deep into that land. They went into every corner to find out what was going on, what was the land like, who were the people, what were the resources. And all 12 of those men came back, and all 12 of those men agreed, this is an amazing place. Right now, we'll see if you get to see any of the kids when they come down, but if you get to see the kids, they're carrying big purple balloons. Because of the story that went with this, that says that when they came back, they carried a bunch of grapes, and the bunch of grapes was so heavy that it had to be carried between two people on a pole. It was a land of abundance. It was a land of pastures and a land of water. It was a land that was so good, and it was a land of big, frightening people. You would not recognize this, but in that Old Testament scripture it said, and they recognized that in that land there were people descended from the Nephilim. Well, the Nephilim, this was a race of giants. This is what they were telling us inside of this. These men came back and they said, yeah, it's a great land, but... And Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, no, you're missing the point. God is on our side. Go. We can do this. The land is waiting for us. We can do it. But the other 10 said, no. They're too big. They're too strong. At which point, God said to Moses, you know what? You're not ready. It didn't take them that long to get to the promised land, but they had to turn around and go back out into the wilderness for another, 38 years? For 40 years, they wandered around out there. Not because they were lost, not because they didn't know where to go, but because they weren't ready. Why? Scarcity mentality based on fear. That's what it was. And they had to learn the abundance that God would bring to them. They had to learn. Scarcity versus abundance mentality. I love this. Who are we as a church? Why are we here? Well, let me tell you what we do as a church. We are here as a church because we are to create disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our world. That's our mission statement. And I love that. Disciples of Christ transforming the world. That's what we do. The question then is, how do we do that? We do it when we know God and love God and serve others. We've been talking the last 2 weeks about knowing God and loving God, and today it's all about serving others, even in the face of fear. Even in the face of fear. We are here to love each other and to love the communities in which we live. This is the power of church. This is the power of communities that gather in the name of Jesus Christ, that we're not just Kiwanis Club meeting on a Tuesday. We're not just Rotary. We're not just, no. This is a group of people. You are a group of people who are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, and there is a power that goes with that. The power of prayer, the power of love, the power of compassion. And in that, we believe in the abundance. We believe that no matter how much you pray, there's always more prayer. That no matter how much you love, there's always space for more love. That no matter how much compassion you share, there's always space and room in our world for more compassion. We live with this abundance mentality, but it is not just what we do that counts. It is how we do it. We know God, love God, and serve others. And Jesus told a parable. He said, once up on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, there were two men who were praying in the temple. The first was a Pharisee. Now, you and I have been trained in our raising to say, ooh, Pharisee, he was the bad guy. No. When Jesus was telling this parable, this was the moment when, in history, the Pharisees were the good guys. The Pharisees were the ones who had the highest level of respect for worship and the temple. They had the highest level of respect and knowledge of the Bible. They had the highest knowledge, respect, and capacity for living the Bible. These were the good guys until they weren't. And the Pharisee stood on the temple and he said, oh God, I thank you for all that you have given me. You know that I tithe 10%. I give back 10% of everything that I have. You know that I fast 2 times a week. I thank you for who I am, and I thank you that I am not like that guy over there. And over there, on the edge, in a quiet place, was a tax collector. Did you know that in Jesus' day, there were 3 levels of taxation in the Jewish community? The first level was the Roman Empire itself. The second level of taxation is what we would call state. And it was the more local taxation. And then the third level was the temple itself. They imposed a tax on the Jewish people. It was literally possible to have a 90% tax rate. People hated the tax collectors. Jewish people who worked for the Romans and were destroying their way of life. And a tax collector knelt down and beat his chest and said, oh God, please have mercy on me. I am such an incredible sinner. And Jesus said, all right, which one got it right? And of course, we know the right answer. But in Jesus' day, that was a very confusing answer because the answer was supposed to be the Pharisee got it right. You know, this would have been, in our culture, this would have been the man who had perfect attendance in church. This would have been the Sunday school teacher. This was the guy who always came in a suit and a tie. This was a guy who had huge portions of the Bible memorized. This is the guy. And Jesus said, no, that's not how it works. You see, it's not just what we do, it's how we do it. The issue was humility. Oh God, I give you thanks. No, just put your arms down and sit down. That's not what it's about. It is about humility. When we are saying that we are here to serve others, we are not serving others, hands in the air, look at me. We are very quietly out and serving others in order to say, this is the love of Christ. In all humility, in all humbleness, how do we do that? In a way, I don't even need to be speaking this to you, because I'm watching you. I love it when I'm out in the community and I get to watch you. We are all in this together. We are not just individuals. We are a church together. Those who are here in the room today and those who are scattered out and around, and I'm watching. I love it. I was watching you the day that you were in Safeway, and I was standing behind you, and that young woman right ahead of you checked out all of her groceries, and when the final tab was pulled, she turned to the clerk and she said, I don't have enough. And without blinking, you handed your card up to the clerk and said, I got it. Thank you. I'm watching. I'm watching. You didn't know I was watching that day in Pizza Hut when that you went to the counter first to pay your tab, and when you were up there, you said, and let me pay for theirs too, that mom and that dad and the two kids sitting over on the side table. You didn't know I was watching. I was watching. I'm watching you. When I see you, when I go into a hospital room and you're already coming out, I'm seeing you when you beat me up to the nursing home. You've been there for hours and I just got there. I'm watching. And I'm watching the joy and I'm watching the laughter. I'm watching you at Edgewood Vista. I'm watching you. I'm watching you on Main Street on Friday night. Thank you so much for that night that you stood there with a beer in your hand and you talked to that man who had just had his life turned upside down, and you knew, and you just stood and talked because what he needed was just to talk. I love this because that's not just what we do, that's who we are. And it's not just about what we do, it is about how we do it. When we serve others, we come in all humility to say, we are here. I want to invite you. I want to invite you into a deeper, more, a fuller way of participating in the church, braving the stage, being brave in the face of fear, and simply stepping up and saying, this is what I can do. We do this when we are all together in the church. My question today is, did you know this is your church? You belong here. This is your church. And there are ways that you can participate. I love this. I love this. I want to invite you into a deeper, fuller way of participating in church because we believe this is the body of Christ. And I'm actually inviting you into a deeper, fuller participation into the life of Jesus Christ. When we fully participate in a church, we are participating in Christ. How would you do that? Well, how did he do it? How did a cellist do it? He didn't do something big and special. He just did what he always did. This is what he did day in and day out. This was his life. This is what he was good at. This is the gift that he had to offer. Same thing. What is the gift that you have to offer to Jesus Christ in your life that happens to come through the church? Well, I didn't put these in your bulletin today, but they're on the two back tables. This is the invitation to make a difference. This is the listing of every committee and organization inside of the church, and we were asking you, would you like to participate? Now, of course, not everybody does, but some do. We've been having so much fun watching these come in and watching people step up and say, this is what I want to do. Here's where I want to participate. We do this when we participate in prayer. Whenever you, either alone or together with others, participate in praying for your church, you're actually participating in the life of Christ, blessing the world and the community around. 2 weeks from now, we're inviting people in for a membership information class. All it is giving a deeper understanding of who we are as a church. How do we serve? How do we work? What do we do? Inviting you into that. When you participate, you're participating in the life of Christ. On the back table, there are two other documents this morning. One is the small brochure. You may have received this in the mail, or you may not have. And we are the United Methodist Church. It's simply an overview of what is it that we do. Who are we as we're loving kids, as we're loving community, as we're working together? What is it that we do, and how do we do it? You are part of this. This is all about braving the stage. And I want to invite you into that participation in the life of the church by serving others, because when we give of ourselves in all different ways, this is knowing and loving. There's another document back there on those back tables. It's a pledge card. This is the time of year when we're beginning to put our budgets together, and we want to know, how is it that we are working together? Now, not everybody uses a pledge card. I do, because it's just really helpful to me. It helps me stay focused. But how is it that you choose to give of yourself? Is it financially to this church? We love that. And I'll tell you more about that in just a second. But the question is not just financially. Prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. How is it that you want to step up and participate? Because this is your church. And as a church, we have the ability to brave the stage and to step out into life, to be brave in the face of fear, serving others in our community. This is what we do. I don't know if you noticed it, but we have decoration over here in the corner. We have yellow caution tape. And, oh, look, isn't that lovely? The blue buckets are out again. Oh, I wish that we needed those for an offering today. They're not there for an offering. That doggone roof is leaking again. Doggone it. We just fixed this in 2013. After that big hailstorm, and we changed the entire roof out, and now we have to go back and figure it out again. So let me tell you what this week looked like, and what I want you to see is the enormous amount of people that it takes to do something simple like this. First of all, 25 years ago, there was a group of hundreds of people in this congregation who said, it is time to upgrade this facility, and this is what was built. Hundreds of people it took working together behind the scenes, those who were organizing, planning, contractors, subcontractors, and they built this incredible facility. And then it took dozens of people over the space of time to keep it maintained and to keep it working. And then this last week, doggone it, it rained. Now, it doesn't drip all the time. It only drips when we have snow that comes from a specific direction, and it only comes when the wind drives the rain in a specific direction. That's helpful because it helps us identify where that leak is. So, Barry the janitor walks down the aisle early in mid-morning, and he says, drip, drip, drip. Barry the janitor goes and gets two blue buckets and yellow tape. Barry the janitor walks into the back room. There he talks to Orvette, the administrative assistant. Orvette, the administrative assistant, gets on the phone to the Board of Trustees and says, John, now what do we do? John, the Board of Trustees chair, is in contact with the Board of Trustees. And the agreement is, well, we better move, and we better move quickly. So it's back to Orvette, and Orvette is calling Aspen Roofing, and Orvette is calling Handyman, and we're identifying. And Handyman comes down and says, we think we found it. Okay, now here's the options, and. What I want you to see is that in something as extremely simple as blue buckets and yellow tape, that it has taken literally hundreds of people over the space of years to make this happen. Why is this important? We are on this so fast, and we are working so hard on this because this building is important. Because this building facilitates the love of God. On Tuesday nights, we have lives being saved and changed because they're in Alcoholics Anonymous. 5 days a week, we have a group gathering of Narcotics Anonymous, and this is the living power of Jesus Christ up inside of their healing people, inside their addictions. We are moving and working in this community. We are moving and working in funerals and weddings and baptisms. We are moving and working in feeding the hungry. We are working to say, how can we enable people to pull themselves up by their bootstraps? How can we enable them to find housing? How can we enable them to be active and healthy in their families? It's not just two blue buckets and a piece of yellow tape. What I want you to see is that we're doing this together. That's going to get fixed, and it's going to get fixed fast because it's really important. Because what we do is important. That together as a church, we are braving the stage, stepping out, and transforming our world. And when we serve others in humility, putting them first, the world changes. This is who we are, and this is what I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you into that full and free participation inside the life of a healthy church. Because this is who we are and what we do in the name of Christ, in the body of Christ, in the presence of Christ, in the love of Christ. This is who we are. So may it be this week that you don't see just a stack of papers in your bulletin and on the back table, but what you see is the invitation to full and free participation in the body of Christ. May it be. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. We would come before God worshiping with our tithes and our offerings, simply returning a portion of who we are. Would you bow with me in prayer as we prepare for this? Gracious God, we come before you and offer not just what goes in the offering plate. Lord,